Revelation 5. Revelation 5, I want to read verse 9 and 10, and then chapter 7, verse 9. This is God's holy word. Revelation 5, 9 and 10. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God, from every tribe and language and people and nation, and you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." In chapter 7, verse 9. "And after this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the victory of the gospel. We thank you that there will be a great harvest. And as we just read in Revelation 7, we're reminded of the vast multitudes of people that will be in heaven. We thank you, Lord, that we who know you by grace through faith will be in that number amongst the multitudes of people from all ages, from all nations, every tribe, language, people group, and nation. Thank you, Lord, for the hope of eternal life. Thank you that we could never, ever, ever be good enough to merit salvation. We thank you that you've revealed to us our total inability to ever bring ourselves out of darkness into light. But we thank you, O God, that you sent your Son Jesus to earth to become sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in you. Thank you, Lord, for the Jabellos and their ministry. Now encourage us and challenge us through your servant Caleb as he brings the word. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is kind of high. Well, good evening. It's good to be here. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, that's going to be our text this evening, verses 1 through 3. And something I've been thinking about the past few months is the need for new missionaries to do gospel work around the world. And when we read through the book of Acts, we get to chapter 13, we see the initial missionaries sent out, Paul and Barnabas, and then we get to Acts 16, and we see a new missionary being taken on. So that's going to be our text. I'm just going to read verses 1 through 3. Follow along in Acts 16. "Paul came also to Derbe and to Lystra, and a disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. He was well spoken of by the brothers at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him." I'll stop there. Here we see in Acts 16, these first few verses, a new missionary being taken on. That's what I want to talk to you about this evening. Not much is said in local churches, at least in my experience, about new missionaries being taken on to do gospel work and pioneer work. And I think there's three main reasons, at least three that I think of. First, most of what we consider missions in our day and age, is in the areas of medicine, education, construction, and not evangelizing the world through preaching the gospel the way the New Testament portrays it. That's one reason, I think, why this topic of new missionaries being sent out is not talking of much in churches. Another reason is a lot of churches have an inward focus and think primarily of themselves. And a third reason, I think, as well, is that most local churches do not see new missionaries as relating to their realm and responsibility. Most churches would think, and again, this is general statements in our culture in America, most churches would probably think new missionaries is in the realm of the schools, the seminaries, missionary training areas, and such. But the mission of Jesus' local churches is what we call missions. And so your goal as an individual Christian, your goal as a local church, the goal of all of God's people is to do the work of advancing the gospel throughout the world. So how do we do this in our generation? This is where the issue and the topic of new missionaries is vitally important. And I want to ask and answer six questions from this text in the time that we have this evening. And the first is this. Simply, should new missionaries be taken on? Now, the obvious answer is yes. But if you asked every professing Christian in America or every local church, that may not be the answer always. But we see all throughout the scriptures, in the Old Testament, God sending out his prophets to proclaim his word. We see Jesus himself being sent by God the Father to be a missionary, if we could use that term, to go and proclaim the gospel. We read in Luke chapter 10, in the first two verses, Jesus sending out missionaries or evangelists to proclaim his word. Jesus says in John 20:21, as the Father sent me, I send you. We see this theme throughout the Bible of God sending his preachers to proclaim his word and to evangelize the world. And new missionaries and evangelists are taken on throughout the book of Acts, as I mentioned already, beginning with Paul and Barnabas in Acts 13, here in Acts chapter 16 as well, a new missionary being taken on. And we see others like John Mark and Silas and Titus, and even couples like Priscilla and Aquila doing the work of what we call missions. William Carriott to fight for this in his day and age. The people told him, listen, we don't need to do missions. We don't need to go evangelize the world. God can do that without you. So we see this spoken of throughout the scriptures and a theme throughout history. And the question is, should new missionaries be taken on? And based on what we read of in God's word, the answer is clearly yes. There should be no debate. New missionaries are to be taken on, and we need to continue this in our day and age. It's not something just of the past, but also of 2019 and into the future. Preaching the gospel to the unevangelized is so important that new missionaries need to be taken on. So that's the first question. Second question is this, from our text here in Acts 16, 1 through 3. Who takes on new missionaries? What does our text say? Who is the one who takes on a new missionary? What do we see in our text in Acts 16, 1 through 3? Who's the one that takes on Timothy as a new missionary? Paul, yeah. Okay, Paul. And we see this in the scriptures, the current missionaries taking on new missionaries. We see that throughout church history as well. So Paul is the current missionary, takes on Timothy as a new missionary. Current missionaries see the gospel and the evangelistic need the most because they're on the front lines. Paul would have seen the need for the gospel to advance probably more than anyone else because he was there. He was on the front lines. He was going to areas where the gospel hadn't gone, and he saw the need. Practically, one of the reasons why the Lord brought me back to New Guinea is because I was there. I saw the need. I saw areas in New Guinea that were unevangelized. Also, current missionaries are already on the ground, and so more than anyone else, they can get a new missionary up and running. Now, if we just went to New Guinea with nobody, with no help here and no help on the field, it would be extremely difficult. If Timothy just thought one day, you know what, I want to be a new missionary. I want to go out and preach the gospel where the gospel isn't being preached. And just started his own work, it would be very difficult. Okay, but Paul, as a current missionary, is able to help Timothy get up and running as a missionary. And so we see here to the answer, who takes on new missionaries? Current missionaries. And so what should your response be as a church? What should our response be as missionaries. We should desire that current missionaries take on new missionaries, as we see here in our text. The third question, from where are new missionaries taken on, or who sends out the new missionaries? What's the answer from the text? Who sends out the new missionaries? Or from where do they come from? Yeah, the local church, right? Here, Timothy's in church. He's not just hanging out in the street and Paul, oh, hey, you want to join me? Paul goes to the church, and that's where he finds this man, Timothy. So from where are new missionaries taken on? Who sends out the new missionaries? The church does. The local church does. Paul doesn't notice go to the school or the institution or an organization, but to the local church where he takes on a new missionary. Now, I know that's countercultural in the area of Christianity today in America, but that's what we see here in the text. The biblical New Testament model is that new missionaries come from within the local church. Again, we see that in Acts 13, verses 2 through 3. I'll read that. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." And after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. Where did Paul come from? Where did Barnabas come from? Where did Priscilla and Aquila come from? And all the other missionaries of the New Testament that came from within the local church. Where are new missionaries going to come from in Laurel? The local church. Where are they going to come from around the world? From local churches. Seminaries and Bible schools, missionary training schools, etc. are not the biblical model from where new missionaries come from. It begins in the local church. So, what should our response be to this? One of your main goals as a local church here in Laurel should be to send out new missionaries to bring the gospel where the gospel hasn't gone. That should be one of your main goals. When you gather on Wednesdays to have prayer meeting, when the leaders gather, when the members gather, you should be thinking, one of your main goals should be, we want to see new missionaries raised up and send out from our local church. And pray and fast about that. Question number 4. What kind of new missionaries are taken on? Look at our text here, Acts 16, 1 through 3. What kind of man was Timothy? Exactly. He was well spoken of. The question here, what kind of new missionaries should be taken on? The answer, simply put, is the best of the local churches. Paul takes on Timothy as a new missionary because, certainly one main reason, he was well spoken of. He had a good testimony. Paul didn't just close his eyes and say, you know, okay, you. It didn't happen that way. He didn't say, who, you know, raise your hands who wants to be a new missionary and just whoever wants to do. Timothy had a good testimony. He was well spoken of. He was a godly man within the local church, and that was certainly one of the main reasons. That's the only reason the Bible gives in this text. Couples, too. That's important. We see the example of Priscilla and Aquila. Okay, so we should desire the best men, the best couples within the local church to do the work of missions and to be sent out to preach the gospel where the gospel is not being preached. Often, this is my experience, this is what I've seen. Often it seems that the leftovers are sent to the mission field. Now, the people who really couldn't make it here in the States, the misfits, those who couldn't do ministry in America, okay, let's send them overseas. That's backwards. What do we see in the New Testament? It was the most qualified. It was the best men who were sent out to preach the gospel and do this work. And that's certainly one of the reasons Timothy was taken on as a new missionary. The missionaries, the evangelists of the New Testament, men like Philip and Epaphras, Titus, Apollos, and again, Priscilla and Aquila, were from the best of the local churches. The best men from the local churches also means that those men need to already be doing the work of evangelism. If they're going to go to the mission field and do evangelism, they certainly have to be doing it here already. The work of missionaries preaching the gospel to the unevangelized is so important. Shouldn't we send our best men, our best couples, our best families to do it? Evangelizing the world, advancing the gospel, seeing Christ's kingdom built locally and around the globe is so important. Wouldn't we want to send our best to do it? the men who are most gifted to preach the gospel, the men who are the most bold, the couples who are most able to do this work, shouldn't we want to see them go and send them off? Isn't it worth sending the best for the work of the gospel? So, again, what should your response be as a church? If this is true, and we see this in the text in Acts 16, you as a church, the leaders, the normal members of the church, you should keep your eye out. Who are the best men we could send to the field? Who are the best couples that we could send to the field? Who are the men already preaching evangelistically in Laurel around the country that are doing the work of evangelism? Keep your eye out for them. Pray about this as a local church, that God would send your men, the best from your local church to do this work. Question 5. What are new missionaries taken on to do? Now, it doesn't say this directly in the text, but we certainly see this throughout the book of Acts and the New Testament. What are new missionaries taken on to do? Now, if we ask that question to every church in America, we'd get a million answers. But what do we see in the New Testament? What are missionaries sent to do? To preach the gospel. Right? That's what Paul was doing. They were going out to preach the gospel. Okay, so Paul took Timothy on as a new missionary to accompany him in not starting hospitals or digging wells. But why did Paul take Timothy on? To accompany him in preaching the gospel. Now, I mentioned some of these things because that's what we're used to hearing, right? You know, when people say, oh, we're missionaries, we're doing missionary work, we tend to hear all these different things about missions. But what do we see in the New Testament? They were taken on, they were sent out to be preaching the gospel. In the New Testament, Paul tells Timothy to preach the word. He writes that to Timothy. He also says, do the work of an evangelist, preaching the gospel to unbelievers. And Paul also refers to Timothy as a co-worker doing the same work. So clearly we see Timothy as a man who is just like Paul, doing evangelistic gospel preaching, doing what we call missions. It's clear from the book of Acts and the missions theme of the New Testament that new missionaries were taken on to do evangelistic gospel preaching. And we see this all throughout the New Testament, that the gospel is meant to be preached. Beginning with John the Baptist, then to Jesus and all the disciples, the apostles, the evangelists, they had one primary activity, and that was to preach the gospel. Certainly they did other things. The church did other things, right? But these men were sent out to do one primary activity, and that was to preach and proclaim the good news of Christ and what he had accomplished. And so new missionaries from your church, from other churches, from around the world, should be sent out to do that primarily. Are we doing other things in Mocha? Of course we're doing other things. But the main reason we've been sent by our church and supporting churches like yours to Mocha, the main reason is to preach the gospel. So God's word directs God's people to do good works. Right? We all agree with that. Christians should be helping the world and helping other people. Some examples like helping with medicine, feeding the poor, clothing those who need clothing. There's many examples like that in the scriptures. Christians should be doing these things. But the mission of Jesus' church is to announce the gospel to the world. That's the mission. That's the goal. That's the main activity. And new missionaries are to be sent out to do just that. And sadly, and I'm sure you've heard stories and know people who were sent out and they don't do that. I know people. I've talked to them. I've seen them. And churches should be focusing on sending new missionaries out to be gospel preachers. That's how the kingdom of God advances. The kingdom of God does not advance by building a building. That doesn't advance God's kingdom. Or digging a well. Or painting something. Now again, those things are good. But new missionaries are to be sent out to preach the gospel. That's how the kingdom advances. New missionaries must be taken on to preach what? To preach the gospel. We must preach the exclusivity of the gospel. That's part of the gospel message. You know, when we go to New Guinea, we don't say, You can believe in Jesus and your animism. You know, we see that all around the country. That's happening all around the world. You could believe in Jesus, and I'm sure it happens here in the South. And you can also hold on to your other worldview as well. That's not the message of the gospel. We must preach repentance. Repentance of sin is an integral part of the gospel message as well. Mark 1:15, repent and believe the gospel. Repentance is a key to the message of the gospel. When we go to Mocha, when missionaries go out, a significant part of the gospel message is to preach repentance, to turn away from idols, to turn away from a wrong worldview. We see that in the book of Acts. We see Paul preaching that. We see Jesus preaching that. We preach that in Mocha as well. Someone cannot be saved apart from repentance. You can't hold on to sin and try to follow Christ. You can't try to hold on to a wrong worldview or animism or whatever else and then say you're a follower of Christ. There has to be repentance. And that's part of the gospel message. We must preach God's sovereignty and salvation. Salvation is of the Lord. That's a building block of the gospel message. That the Lord is the one who saves. When we go to Mocha and preach, when I preach there, I'm telling the people, only the Lord can save you. I haven't come here to save you. I haven't come here to just make you part of a new religious club. The Lord must save you. That's part of the gospel message. We must preach hell as part of the gospel message as well. I talk about hell all the time when we're there. You don't repent of your sins, you're going to end up in hell. That's part of the gospel message. Jesus, probably more than any other preacher in history, preached about hell. To flee from the wrath of God which is to come. The coming judgment. If you don't repent, if you don't trust in God to save you from your sin, if you don't believe in Christ alone, you will go to hell. Now, hell should make us urgent to evangelize. You know, in this very room, those of us who are represented here, we have family members, we have co-workers, we have neighbors who are literally going to hell. What should make us urgent if it's not that? And when we go to Mocha, when we do missions work, we preach the gospel and we preach that there is a real hell that sinners are going to. We must preach imputation as central to the gospel message, 2 Corinthians 5:21, right? That Christ takes our sin, and we receive his righteousness. Without that, there's no gospel either. And we also must preach to propitiation as foundational to the gospel message, Romans chapter 3, that Christ appeased the wrath of the Father. We must preach discipleship as part of the gospel message. We see all that throughout the Gospels. Christ emphasizing discipleship. You have to give up everything to follow Christ. You have to actually hate other people, your own family, if you're going to follow Christ. And take up your cross. So these are things that we must preach when we preach the gospel message. It's not just, oh, Jesus loves you and, you know, you just be a Christian with us and we'll all be happy and get to heaven. That's not the gospel message. That's what's being preached around the world. Okay, that's what's being preached in New Guinea. That's being preached in America too. That's certainly not the gospel of the Bible. So when taking on new missionaries, what's more important than preaching the gospel? Now, if we brainstorm together, okay, let's send out new missionaries to do the greatest thing. What are we going to come up with? We're not going to come up with something better than that. Preaching the gospel is the most important, seeing God save his people from around the world. So what should your response be as a church? As you're thinking about this, as you're praying about this, new missionaries from your own congregation, sending out your best to do what? To be preachers of the gospel. And then a final question, question 6. Why should new missionaries be taken on? And again, this is just some general remarks that we see throughout the book of Acts and throughout the New Testament as well. Why should new missionaries be taken on? Because Jesus, our Lord, has told us to, quote, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation, Matthew 6:15. Why should new missionaries be taken on? Jesus said to. He said to do this, right? I mean, that was enough for me. One of the main reasons I'm doing this type of work in Mocha is because I read it in the Bible. I mean, that's enough, right? Why should our desire, one of our main desires, our main goals as individual Christians, as families, as churches, to send out new missionaries? Because Jesus said to. Another reason, because Luke 10, The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. There's a big harvest out there. In New Guinea, in Mocha, in China, in India, in Africa, in South America, all around the world, in the Middle East. Many people groups, language groups, that remain 2019 years later, unevangelized, unreached with the gospel. The gospel has never been preached there. There's no Christians there. The harvest is plentiful. But Jesus recognized it. The laborers are few. So don't be, I want to challenge you as a church, don't be a church that fits into that category as, well, the laborers are few. Be a church that goes against that, where there are many laborers locally, but the focus this evening is globally. Another reason, so that the unevangelized would hear the gospel and believe, Romans chapter 10. Without someone actually going, they're not going to hear the gospel. You know, the people in Mocha, they're not going to go on the internet. They don't have internet. They're not going to listen on the Christian radio. They don't have that. The only way for the people in Mocha and all these other unevangelized areas in the world to actually hear the gospel, repent of their sins, and believe is if another human being actually goes there. That's the only way. Now, you might be thinking, well, that's difficult. Yeah, it is. It's very difficult. You know, that's why Mocha's been unevangelized for 2019 years, because it's so difficult to get to. Then the Lord sent us. And there's other places like that. Another reason, because Christ needs to save his people. John 10:16 says, I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. Jesus needs to save his people. But he doesn't do that apart from new missionaries being sent out. And another reason I mentioned here is to continue the advance of the gospel in our generation. You know, just imagine if the gospel stopped advancing on our watch. How ashamed we would be. You know, the gospel's been advancing for all these generations for 2019 years now, and we dropped the ball. We'd be ashamed, right? We want to see the gospel continue to advance. That should be one of your main goals and desires as a local church. And again, the focus this evening is globally. Matthew 24:14, Jesus says, this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. We need to continue the advance of the gospel. And the Bible doesn't do it by itself. We have to do it by God's Spirit and through his word. So those are the six questions that I want to do, ask and answer from our text. And just to review our text here, Acts 16, 1 through 3, what's the topic? New missionaries. That's what we see here in our text. Paul going to a local church, and he takes on a new missionary. The first question, should a new missionary be taken on? Yes. Who takes on new missionaries? Current missionaries. From where are new missionaries taken on, or who sends them out? The local church. What kind of new missionaries are taken on? The best. Question 5, what are new missionaries taken on to do? Preach the gospel. And then final observations we had, why should new missionaries be taken on? I gave you a bunch of reasons. So if the gospel has transformed your thinking, your goals, your passions, your entire lives, if the gospel's done that to you, then one of your main goals, your mission, if I could use that term, will be to get this gospel to the unevangelized of this world by sending out new missionaries. Now, is that a guarantee a new missionary is going to come from your church? No, I'm not saying that. But that should be your desire. That should be one of your goals. Lord, raise up a new missionary from our family, from our church to send out. Pray about that. If that's your sincere desire, the Lord will probably answer it. So I mentioned this this afternoon in the men's lunch. If every biblical church in America, and just America, if every biblical church, gospel-centered church, sent out their best man or their best couple to go preach the gospel where it isn't being preached, the Great Commission would probably be accomplished and finished and concluded in our generation. I mean, there's not that many unevangelized people groups. Yeah, there's still probably a few thousand, but there are thousands of good churches in America. I mean, forget the rest of the world, too. If every good church sent out one of their best to preach the gospel, the work of the Great Commission would be done. And that should be your desire as a local church. We want to see the end come, right? We want to see Christ return. We want to see his kingdom finished. I mean, who wants to remain on this cursed world, you know, the rest of your life? I don't. I want Jesus to come first. And to think of the next generation. No, we don't want them to stay here. We want Christ to come. We want the work to be finished. And so I hope the challenge this evening from this text in Acts 16 was just that, a challenge to you to consider, maybe for the first time, as an individual or as a church, we should send out new missionaries. We should think about this. We should pray about this, just like we see in the early church. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, and please have your Spirit bless it to your people here. In Jesus' name, amen.